Good evening, everybody. Welcome. What a joyful celebration we have here tonight. I always look forward to this evening. And what you've heard this evening from the choir, thank you, choir, is some of the most beautiful and amazing musical pieces human beings have ever written. And the reason for that is the subject matter, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because human words can never exhaust the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just a foretaste of what we'll be doing for all eternity. For those redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, we will be doing much of this forever and ever, because He will reign forever and ever. Well, you have heard the gospel in the scripture readings, you have heard the gospel in song, and now I would like to proclaim the gospel to you this evening. And to do that, I'm going to read from a passage in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and we will focus in on one verse of this scripture reading. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Well, I cannot expound this whole passage for you tonight, but I want to focus in on the words of verse 21, where the angel came to Joseph in this dream and revealed the name that he was to give to this son. And it says, You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus is given an abundance of titles in Scripture. There's so many of them. Every one of them is worth a sermon in and of itself. He is called Messiah, King, Priest, Prophet, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Ruler of Nations on Earth, the Good Shepherd. And the list goes on. He is given so many titles to describe who he is and what he does on our behalf. But I want to focus right now on the name Jesus. What you might call his proper name. We think of it as his first name, though Christ is not his last name. It is a title. It means Messiah, the Anointed One. But Jesus is his name that he would have been known by on the streets. If you had passed him in Nazareth, you would have known that his name was Jesus. He is the son of Mary and the son of Joseph the carpenter. But what many did not know is that he was also the Son of God, more significantly. So why is he named Jesus? Well, it's worth noting that the name Jesus at this time was actually a rather common name there in Israel, because it's really just a rendering of the name Joshua, which was, of course, a great Old Testament figure who had been important in leading God's people. It was a common name. And so in some ways, the name Jesus would have seemed insignificant. Like, yes, we know a couple of Jesuses in Nazareth and Jerusalem. This name was around. But what makes Jesus' name so significant is this fact. It was a God-given name. It was delivered through the angel. And it was a name that described more than a concept, more than just a historical association with this man Joshua from the Old Testament. It describes what he does. He saves his people from their sins. We name our children with different goals in mind. Sometimes we use the name of a historical figure that we want them to emulate. Sometimes we choose a name just because we like the sound of that name. And for Christians, sometimes we choose a name for which we're praying for their life. Maybe that name summarizes our desire for them, what they will become. We did that with our son, Samuel Knox. We took the name Samuel, which means God who hears. And I wanted Samuel to know, and I want him to know throughout all of his life, that there is a God in heaven who hears his prayers. And then I added the name Knox because I wanted him to be a courageous man like John Knox. And these are my prayers for him and my desires for him. But with the name Jesus, it goes beyond just a prayer or just a desire, as important as those things are. It is a reality. His name describes what he has done for his people. And so this name, Jesus, is simply a version of the Hebrew name Yehoshua, which simply means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. And what verse 21 tells us is that he saves us from the biggest problem mankind faces, and that is the problem of sin. Jesus saves us from the thing that we need saving from the most. And the Bible goes on to say in the book of Hebrews that he saves us to the uttermost. Those who trust in God and come to him by faith are saved to the uttermost. He saves us completely. So if he saves us from our sins, well, we need to consider what this problem of sin is. Since the beginning of human history, after the fall into sin, you can speak to any human being and they will tell you that something is wrong with the world. This is a universally agreed upon truth, that there is something wrong with the world. But different people frame the main problem in different ways. They will say, perhaps, that it's an economic problem that we face. A problem of inequality, perhaps. You know worldviews that say that. Sometimes the problem is framed as a psychological problem. People need to be saved from the way in which society mistreats them, or saved from the wrong perspective of themselves. Sometimes it's described just as a health problem. We need to figure out how to overcome this problem of death in some human way. We need some human solution to solve this problem. Or maybe it's an ecological problem. We need to save this planet from ultimate destruction. But in all of those other worldviews, they, first of all, misdiagnose the problem. They don't focus on the fundamental issue, but then they also miss the fact that we cannot save ourselves from any of these things. And of course, 2020 has been a year in which we have thought about health perhaps more than ever. I had in my notes some of the buzzwords that we have been learning in terms of new vocabulary this year, but I'm not going to read them because we've heard them enough. But we've heard much of these things, and health and death has been on the minds of many. And in many ways, that consideration of the problem of death that has been on so many minds this year is actually a good thing. I don't say that out of any sort of grim fascination. I say that because it should lead people to think about the problem that we are all facing. We are all facing the problem of death and then the judgment to come. The Bible describes humankind's most fundamental problem as sin, this violation of God's holy order, a violation of his very character, his holy nature, which is unchangeable and is righteous. And thanks be to God that Jesus came to save us not merely from economic problems, not merely from psychological problems, not merely from ecological problems, but he came to save us from our sins. And there are three ways in which the problem of sin faces us, and three ways in which Jesus saves us from that problem. And that's what I want to tell you about right now. First of all, we suffer from the guilt of sin. We all know that we've done wrong. Even for those who define sin the wrong way or who think they are not so bad, even they sometimes feel guilt. We've all felt guilt, and we all have guilt. Secondly, the Bible teaches that those who commit sin are slaves to sin. Sin is a taskmaster in which we cannot be freed unless Christ frees those chains. And thirdly, the final consequence of sin is death and then judgment for those sins that we have committed. So who will save us from these things? Who will help us from these three problems, these grave problems that sin produces? And the answer is found in the name Jesus. The child from Bethlehem, the son of Mary, whose name is Jesus, he will save us from our sins. So let us see how Jesus saves us from these things. Matthew 1:21 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." First, Jesus saves us from this problem of the guilt of sin. We have all felt guilt at times when we've done something wrong. But even if we don't feel guilty, the Word of God says that we are all guilty. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says that we, like sheep, have turned to our own way. We've turned against God. And there is coming a day when we will face the eternal judge of all, the righteous and holy judge, who judges without partiality and judges with perfect righteousness. And on that day, it will not matter whether you feel guilty or not. Even in a human court, the question when it is put to the defendant is not, do you feel guilty? What do you plead? Do you feel guilty? No, the question that is asked of the defendant is, are you guilty? What do you plead? And the Bible says that we have all become guilty before God. We have racked up an infinite debt of sin that we cannot repay ourselves, and we daily increase our debt. We owe $100 trillion, as it were, and we don't have a penny to pay with of our own. But the good news of the name Jesus is that when he died upon the cross, he took all of the debt upon himself. He took all the debt of his people. He took all the sins of his people upon himself. He paid for those sins, rose again on the third day, and now all who trust in him will not be condemned. Our Lord Jesus said in John 3:18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So this is the first way in which Jesus helps us, saves us from this problem of sin. He clears the debt away. And if we have put our trust in him, we do not carry this debt any longer. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Secondly, Jesus also saves us from the bondage of sin. We need forgiveness of sins, but we also need freedom from our sins, because sin is enslaving. If we are outside of Christ, sin is our master. Sin is a master that is never satisfied with your labor. It always wants more and more, and it is never satisfied with all that you give into it. Who in this world has ever fully satisfied all their desires? Who has fulfilled all the lusts of their heart through sin? Jesus tells us what this reality is. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Have you felt the bondage of sin? Have you seen how your desires are never satisfied, and that the earthly things of this world, they cannot provide ultimate satisfaction? In the prophet Jeremiah, in the Bible, it describes how God's people, in turning to idolatry, had hewn out broken cisterns for themselves. It was pitiful to think about. It was sad to see that they had turned to idols and they had hewn out these broken cisterns which could not hold water. They could not get satisfaction from those cisterns which were broken, those idols that they had pursued. And that's what we do with sin. It's as if we are digging 100 feet down, trying to find water, trying to find satisfaction. We dig and we dig and we dig. We never find water. And we face judgment to come thereafter. But Jesus describes himself in the scriptures as the living water. He says, if you come to me, you will never thirst again. These idols which have left you empty, enslaved, they're nothing, but I have all that you need. All you need is found in me. He will grant lasting satisfaction to those who come to him by faith. Thirdly, Jesus saves us from the consequences of sin. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, what is the consequence of sin? Well, the scriptures tell us very plainly in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, for those who love their sins and will not repent of them, and they cling to these idols, they face the judgment of God and eternal separation and suffering apart from him. But Jesus, the Lord who saves, came to save us from those consequences. And he said in John 5, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. If you have put your trust in him, you are already in possession of that eternal inheritance which can never be taken away from you. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. Through Jesus, we are set free from the bondage of sin. And through Jesus, we do not face the consequences of judgment to come. So these words from Matthew 1:21 should be precious to all those who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, know that you have a mighty Savior. He will save us to the uttermost. He isn't a partial Savior. He doesn't just fix one part of the problem of sin, leaving us with the rest to fix on our own. He saves us from sin completely. And Jesus invites you to believe. If you have not put your trust in this Savior, he invites you. He invites you freely. He describes himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Jesus is such a merciful, gentle Savior that he doesn't turn away any who come to him. You only have to come in humility, recognizing your need for him. There's no other qualification that you need to come to this gentle, lowly Savior who will carry your burdens for you. This is the invitation of the one whose name is Jesus, the Lord who saves. This name describes who he really is, and as the scriptures say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His blood will never lose its saving power until all the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. He saves to the uttermost all those who come to God through faith in him. Let me close in prayer now as we give thanks to God our Father who has sent the Savior for us. Let's pray.